Let's remember Hebrews 4:16 again. For miraculous faith, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Just like we would go and ask our father for a toy, or ask our mother for a drink of milk, or some food, or some mashed potatoes, or gravy and a nice dinner. We say, Mom, can I have some dinner? And we wouldn't come in there sheepishly. We would just know that she's got all that stuff all on their stove, and she can fix us a plate with everything we want to eat. Give us some cake and dessert and some tea or whatever, water, whatever you want, cold water with ice. We just go in and ask her boldly, just like we're supposed to ask God boldly for the things that we need. Let's remember Hebrews 4:16 again. For miraculous faith, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Just like we would go and ask our father for a toy, or ask our mother for a drink of milk, or some food, or some mashed potatoes, or gravy and a nice dinner. We say, Mom, can I have some dinner? And we wouldn't come in there sheepishly. We would just know that she's got all that stuff all on their stove, and she can fix us a plate with everything we want to eat, and give us some cake and dessert and some tea or whatever, water, whatever you want, cold water with ice. We just go in and ask her boldly, just like we're supposed to ask God boldly for the things that we need. If you ever worked somewhere and you wanted your boss to help you with something, if you didn't go and ask him and walk up to him and say, hey, I need some help, well, he might not believe you need help. You have to have faith in these people. If it was your mother or father you needed help from, you'd want to go to those people. Matthew 17:20 says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. The second point is, prayer avails only when made in the name of Jesus. John 14:13 says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14:14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Number 3, prayer in line with the will of God. If we want to have miraculous faith, we have to be praying in line with the will of God. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. John 5:15, and if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now sometimes it's going to take a while to see the answer to our prayer. And in very few cases, it may be like people looking for the kingdom of God coming, and they may not see that kingdom of coming God because they already died and went to heaven. So they'll have to wait until then. But most of us have a chance down here to pray in the Spirit and ask God to help us. If you want miraculous faith, number 4 is pray in the Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8:27 says, and he that searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's very important that we try to pray in the right Christian spirit and ask God to help us. The fifth point is, for miraculous faith, prayer avails only if it's by one who confesses his sin and repents and rejects his old ways or any new way of sin. But that also would mean, if you're having an addiction to alcohol or cigarettes or something, that you're making a definite attempt to quit doing that. Or if you have a temptation to lust, or a temptation to overeat, or a temptation to yell at people or something like that, you have to be confessing your sin and make sure that you're trying to overcome these things that you've been doing. You can't keep doing these things. You need to think, when you yell at someone, or when you were to lust, or when you were to say something evil to someone, or yell at someone, or maybe even fight with someone, you need to think about how God's sitting on his throne, and would he want you to do this, and how it hurts him to see you doing these things. So you need to confess your sin. This is the fifth point. Isaiah 59:1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Isaiah 59:2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Isaiah 1:16 says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil." Isaiah 1:17, "Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow." Isaiah 1:18 now, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." These verses were all in the Old Testament. We have very similar ones in the New Testament. Let me continue with some of these from the Old Testament. Isaiah 1:19 is part of having miraculous faith. "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." Isaiah 1:20, "But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." It's very important that we do the things we're supposed to. And if we do something even after we're a Christian that's evil, don't expect God to bless you for that. In fact, you may lose your protection if you start doing something you're not supposed to. The sixth point is, for miraculous faith, prayer avails as it's made by a forgiving heart. Matthew 18:21, "Then Peter said to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Matthew 18:22, "And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of God likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience on me, and I will pay thee all." Matthew 18:27, "Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and forgave him his debt." In order to have miraculous faith, we got to learn all of these things. So I want to read the rest of Matthew 18:28. "But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what thou owest." Matthew 18:29 says, "And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all." Matthew 18:30, "And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt." Now, can you understand? This man had just been forgiven by his boss and by the people above him that he worked for, and he wouldn't forgive someone else, even though he'd been forgiven. Matthew 18:31 says, "So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done." Matthew 18:32, "Then the Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me." Matthew 18:33, Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" Matthew 18:34, "And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, that he would pay all that was due unto him." Matthew 18:35, now this is in the Bible, Matthew 18:35. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." So if you're going to have miraculous faith, you need to make sure that you're forgiven and make sure that you forgive everyone else too. Number seven point, prayer avails only if we get along with others in Christ. Matthew 5:20, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 5:21, "You have heard that it was said of them of old times, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool," he's talking about his brother, it says, "whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." That is Matthew 5:22. Jesus said this. So no matter how you look at it, you can't get around this. You've got to do these things right. You can't be messing around once you're Christian doing the wrong stuff if you want your prayers answered. So let me ask you a question about your life. Do you remember sitting in the presence of your mother? How you felt very safe? She didn't have to say a word, but you knew as long as she was with you that you would be safe. You knew if you needed something, she was there. She'd get you drinks, she'd get you food. In fact, you could play with your toys and look over once in a while and make sure she was there. She didn't care how you played. She just wanted you to be safe. And you knew if she walked out of the room, she wasn't far from you. You may not be able to see her, but you knew she was there. You could hear her voice, and she could hear your voice. That's a lot like Jesus is. And he watches us down here playing with our toys. Many of us have a lot, like boats, fishing poles, all kinds of toys that we play with, our TVs, to watch the ball games on the weekends when we should be going to church. It's very important that we remember that God is watching us and that we can be right in his presence and do the things that he wants us to do. But we have to ask him for his wisdom. We could make houses and we could help children walk, just like God watches to see if we are safe. He cares about us and has sent his only son to our planet to die in place of our sins. He wants us to accept this sacrifice and accept Jesus into our heart as our eternal Savior. Today I want to discuss several other passages with you in the Bible that are almost forgotten secrets to some. Really, they're almost forgotten secrets, but actually show us how God has been teaching us from the earliest days in the Bible until he sent his son, who was God in the flesh, to teach us how to communicate with him. Hebrews 4:14 says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points was tempted like we are, yet without sin. We may be going through temptations for alcohol, for sex, for some evil thing that we're not supposed to, maybe even just to go out and steal a car right now. You know, put that hammer down. Don't plan on breaking that window and stealing that car today if you're doing that. Just trust in God to save your soul and give you a better thing to do. If you want to have miraculous faith, you need to come boldly before God once you know you're forgiven. Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It's important that you learn to read the word of God and learn to do the things that you're supposed to so that you'll have a revival of the Spirit of God in your life. And it takes medics to revive a person who dies down here. But with God, he just has to revive our spirit and help us to keep going. And many times he'll heal our lives and our bodies in the same moment. It says in Romans 10:13, this shows how it's easy to get saved. You may think, oh, I can't get saved. I've done so many horrible things. Well, we're going to read something about that in Samuel later. How Samuel told these people, I'll just tell you briefly. Samuel told these people that had asked for a king when God didn't want them to have a king, didn't want Saul to be their king, but he finally allowed it. They asked for a king and then they realized they did something wrong, and Samuel told them. He said, "You've done a lot of bad stuff, but now you need to just worship the Lord. Don't lose faith. Don't be afraid. Worship the Lord and tell him you're sorry and continue on and do the things God wants you to do." Now that was in the Old Testament. Now here's Romans 10:13 I'm going to read. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It doesn't say who you are, where you are, what religion you came from. It just means that you need to call on the name of Jesus, Romans 10:13. It doesn't mean you have to do anything specific for what they said. What he said, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans 10:14. "And how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" See, we need to tell people about Jesus. In this verse, it's telling us we need to help people to believe. And in the verse, it says, "And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" We need to be witnesses. We need to take people to church and let them hear our minister. And we need to try to get people there so that they can get saved too. part of the Bible is the fruit of God Spirit, and that is how we help other people to become Christians. He expects us to be fruitful. Romans 10:15 says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So then faith, Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If we want to have miraculous faith for answering prayers, we need to learn to thank God, praise Him, and then we can, as in Hebrews 4:16, we can come boldly before Him. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help of need." Now, if your mother or father were in the house and you needed something, would you feel sheepish by asking them for a glass of milk or some food or whatever it was that your body needed? No. You would just come boldly right in there as a little kid and say, "Hey, Mommy, give me a glass of milk. Hey, Daddy, get me a truck to play with." And sometimes when we're kids, we don't even say please, but God watches over us and He does answer a lot of our prayers. And if you believe what Jesus said while He was here was true, then you can act on it right now. Part of faith is acting. If you don't start acting on the faith, then you're going to have a problem. Let me read something else. You're going to have the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." Galatians 5:23 continues with the fruits of the Spirit: meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. There's an awful lot of bad stuff on TV and on radio and in bars, and we have to get over that lust. Every one of us has probably had trouble with that in our lives. Let me read Galatians 5:24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." Galatians 5:25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit." Galatians 5:26, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Many of the people I've met in my life are good people, but then there's a lot of people who look like they're always looking for an argument. I don't know if you've met those. You may have, but there's some people that almost anything you say to them, they want to contradict or something like that, or they want to jump on you right away. Well, Galatians 5:26 says, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." So let's not try to say we know more than they do about the Word of God or about some political thing or something like that, because you're just going to be provoking and you're going to be causing trouble. But we need to be able to pray and have miraculous faith and come boldly before God. So let's start sending those prayers up that will last all of our lives and change those around us. And also prayers that will last when we are already dead and in heaven. You could have said prayers about your grandchildren, saying, "Oh God, I pray for my 5-year-old granddaughter that when she's grown up and she's 30 years old, she'll have enough money to take care of her family and she'll have a good husband." Or you can pray for your nephew and say, "God, when that nephew grows up, I pray that he'll have a good job and that he'll be responsible and be the kind of person he needs to be, and that you will send someone to talk to him if he needs it." So those are the kind of prayers we can pray. We can pray future prayers. Jesus said, John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Maybe you're going through a divorce right now. You can pray that God will come down and change each of your hearts so that you can both see what is really important and you can get back together again. That can happen. I have had some personal experience with this. 1 Corinthians 7:11 says, "If she devour," this is in the case of the lady leaves, "but if she departs, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife." Those words are in the Bible. We can't be so loose like we are in life, where we go through and marry a lot of different people and then divorce. But if you've went to that point and you're at that point and you've already been through a lot of marriages, Just ask God to forgive you. He didn't say He couldn't forgive you. He gives us a lot of rules, just like 1 Corinthians 7:11. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. Let not the husband put away his wife. It didn't say you're going to go to hell if you violate that, but it tells us what we're supposed to do. Isaiah 35:4 says, "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." Many times we're so fearful. A lot of times I just get a letter in the mail from my insurance company or a call from my insurance company, and boy, I go right into fear. We all need to learn how to get past that. The Bible says in some verses that we're not supposed to say that we're sick. We're supposed to just say, "God help us." And in Zechariah 4:6, it tells us why we don't have to be so powerful. And back then, Zechariah was shown this. It says, "Then he answered and spoke unto me." This was by an angel. "Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord under Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Many times you think, "Oh, I got to scream. I got to yell. I got to do as much as I can. I got to clench my hands and pound the floor." Well, maybe that's what you need to do. But what it really comes down to it is this. It says here in Zechariah 4:6, it's "by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Then he answered and spoke unto me. I'll read it again. "Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Now I can shorten this up a little bit and tell you there's another verse here that says that if God sends you to do something, He's going to make sure that you get to finish it. Zechariah 4:9, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it, and thou shalt now know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you." I'll read that again, Zechariah 4:9. He gets to finish what he started. "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you." Let's remember Hebrews 4:16 again. "For miraculous faith, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need." Just like we would go and ask our father for a toy, or ask our mother for a drink of milk, or some food, or some mashed potatoes, or gravy, and a nice dinner. We say, "Mom, can I have some dinner?" And we wouldn't come in there sheepishly. We would just know that she's got all that stuff all on their stove, and she can fix us a plate with everything we want to eat, and give us some cake and for dessert and some tea or whatever, water, whatever we want, cold water with ice. We just go in and ask her boldly, just like we're supposed to ask God boldly for the things that we need. It's very important to do this. It's very important that you know that God will forgive you for your sins nowadays. In 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I'm going to read this 2 more times. This is so important. 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You may feel like you're unworthy and that you failed, but remember that God will forgive us our sins. We just have to confess them, and we have to ask God to forgive us for these things. And we have to be the kind of people we need to be. We have to have a forgiving spirit. We have to ask God to help us. We have to not be like the children of Israel that demanded a king over them and then had all sorts of problems because of it. It's very important. And for in 1 Samuel 12:20, after they had demanded a king, Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." He says again in the next verse, "And turn not aside, for then ye shall go after vain things and cannot profit or deliver because they are vain." How many people have done a lot of bad things and they think, "Oh, God's not going to forgive me"? Well, clear in the Old Testament, Samuel had to tell a whole bunch of people, "Fear not, you've done all this wickedness. Turn not all this wickedness, turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. God loves you, and He wants you to be saved. Ask Jesus into your heart today, and tell Him that you want Him to guide you and lead you, and thank Him for His sacrifice on the cross. Thank you again today. This is Brother Theodore Turner, in Jesus' name, amen.